Tonight I want to speak on the very solemn subject of the sufferings of the lost. It's not a very pleasant task. Perhaps it's not a very pleasant message. But we believe that to be faithful to the Word of God, one has got to preach the whole counsel of God, and to be faithful both to our Redeemer, our Saviour, and to those to whom we minister. John Newton was the author of that well-known hymn, Amazing Grace. But he was also a preacher as well. One of John Newton's hearers said to him on one occasion from his dying bed, this man was dying and John Newton came in to visit him. And this man who was dying lifted up his eyes and he said to John Newton, "You spoke to us of heaven and all its glories, but why did you not warn us more of hell and all its terrors? If you had done this, then things might be different just now. Oh, that you had warned us more concerning the sufferings of the lost." Now, no faithful servant of God wishes or desires such a charge to be laid against him. It is our duty as ministers of the gospel to warn men and women of the dangers of a lost and of a Christless hell, and to exhort them to flee from the wrath to come, that they might seek refuge and a haven in the blessed rock of ages, come to Christ for shelter, for pardon and forgiveness. Know him to be the great deliverer. And so we preach the message. Whether men in various parts of the world would listen to such a message, we're not sure, but whether they listen or whether they don't, it makes no difference. Because if they refuse to hear, because the result will not be determined by the preacher and his message, but on how the hearer hears and accepts the word that he hears. If men quarrel with us when we warn them of the danger of hell, then their quarrel is not so much with the preacher, it is with the Lord Jesus Christ, the gracious and precious Savior who came to redeem us, who came to snatch us as brands from the burning. And I say that because it's not even prophet, nor is it apostle, who gives us the most frequent and the most terrible pictures of eternal woe. It is the merciful and loving and gracious Master himself. If you turn to the gospel according to Matthew, you'll find there that six times over and over again, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth." He also speaks of outer darkness. He speaks of the furnace of fire. And he speaks of the worm that dieth not and of the fire that is not quenched. And surely no more solemn scene can be pictured or imagine than the great judgment scene in Matthew chapter 25. We read part of this chapter. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." This is our Lord's striking description of what he will do. As the faithful and true witness, he spoke the truth. In him there is no lie, and his words were no exaggeration. He speaks the truth in plainness. And we are, of course, wholly dependent upon the Bible, which is the Word of God, for any light that we have on the subject of future punishment. And when God speaks of it, when God speaks to us, we are only worms of the dust. We are not as those who have a right to answer God back. We have no right to rebel against his pronouncements, being worms of the dust, being the creature of his hand, being the creature in him, the creator. Let us hear what God says in his word. We'll not be able to cover it tonight, all of it. But I want to let us have a glance, and glancing at this subject tonight, may it be that the Spirit of God will work deeply in some heart. And if you're not genuinely born again, you're not genuinely saved, that this night you will throw off every shackle, and that you'll make no mistake about it, and you'll make a straight course for the cross, and there you'll receive Christ. That's exactly why God brings this word before us tonight, that some sinner will be saved, be no longer under a delusion, or under a maybe, but that he might know definitely that he's the Lord's, and that he's not going to perish, and that he'll not fall into hell, but that he'll be redeemed by precious blood, and he'll have that a blessed assurance that Jesus is his. The Bible teaches that the sufferings of the lost will arise from a number of factors, and I want to mention just some of these in the service tonight. First of all, will arise because of the loss of every earthly thing. Yes, every earthly thing will be gone. Every earthly comfort, every earthly possession that we might get some satisfaction from here in this scene of time, will have lost all these things. They'll be gone forever. And from them, we'll be able to gain no further comfort or benefit. We turn to Luke chapter 16. And there we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And in verse 25 it says concerning the rich man, "Thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted," Lazarus is comforted, "and thou art tormented." Oh, the torments of the damned, those who are in the place of destruction. My, the rich man could cry in that place, the place of despair, but his cry is not going to be rewarded, because his cry is too late. His cry comes when it's far too late. Sinner tonight, don't you begin to cry when it's too late. Don't you begin to wail when it's too late. Don't you begin to call upon God when it's gone, time is gone. Oh, call upon him tonight. Now's the time to cry to God for mercy. And when you call upon him, my, he reached down that powerful hand of his with the nail-pierced hand. He'll lift you right up, and he'll save you, set you among princes. Oh, thank God he's able to see you. Here was a man in Luke 16. He lived splendidly every day. He had much of this world's goods. His heart was so set upon his riches and upon his luxuries. But now, oh yes, time has passed. He's in eternity. And now all these things are past forever. We hear him cry out in anguish, "I am tormented in this flame. I am tormented in this flame." Oh, the torments of a lost eternity. The sufferings of the lost. The Bible warns against us laying up treasure on earth and putting our trust in this, depending upon it, making it our God. You know, even the kings of the oil states of the Middle East, with all the riches, one day they're going to have to leave their glorious luxury. Just imagine, going from a palace built of gold to the flames of a lost eternity. How tragic. I wonder if there's someone here tonight and you're making these temporal things your trust. And you find all your pleasure. You find yourself taken up with these things. My Satan would love to deceive and to blind the minds of them that believe not, so that they might not see Christ the Savior and see their need. See the need of repentance and turning to the Lord. Yes, the Bible warns us against this and exhorts us to lay up treasure in heaven. Like we turn to Matthew chapter 6. What a wonderful chapter. Lay up treasure in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The rich man had plenty, but when he died, went out into that great door of eternity, not one penny did he take with him. Not even the shirt on his back. He left all behind. Naked he came into the world. Naked he went out. Penniless. Powerless and helpless. Sinner friend tonight, let us remember that it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this comes the judgment. And may it be that we'll be wise, even today, and seek the Lord. Remember, there are no pockets in the last garment that we shall ever wear. I don't know if you call it the shroud over here or not. But now there are no pockets in this garment. We can't fill it up with possessions and take it with us. No. For we brought nothing into the world out of certain and cutting nothing out. Let us be wise tonight. I wonder what you're living for in this life. Is it for the things of the world, which are fleeting, temporal? Is it for something that will one day pass away? Remember, there's coming a day when you have to leave it all behind. And then whose shall these things be? I'm glad that today I can say, from the depths of a heart full of assurance towards God, I have a hope that will surely endure. After the passing of time, I have a hope, I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day, when at the cross I believe, riches eternal and blessings supernal from His precious hand I receive. What a glorious experience. Is it yours tonight? Do you know our Savior? Do you know the Christ that we speak of tonight? The glorious Emancipator, who's able to lift us from the dunghill of sin and set us among princes, yea, even among the princes of glory. May it be, sinner, that you will think of these important things. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And then secondly, the sufferings of the lost will arise from their exclusion from the presence of God forever. Yes, no longer enjoying, even in a measure, God's presence. An unsaved person could come to a meeting such as this, and in a measure outwardly enjoy the presence of the Lord. In the very atmosphere of an evangelistic gospel service, when everyone is singing their heart out and singing glory and praises to God, surely everybody's blessed. Even the unbeliever is blessed. But my, even this measure of God's presence will not be felt. It will be gone forever. Cast out of the presence of God for all eternity. In heaven, there is a marriage supper. There's a marriage feast. The Bible says, blessed are all they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But for the lost, those who are without, and in outer darkness, there shall be weeping, and wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Within the city of God, the Lamb is the light. But for the lost, there is the blackness of darkness forever. In Matthew chapter 25, the same chapter that we read tonight, we have the parable of the 10 virgins. The five who were wise were ready to meet the bridegroom. The five who were foolish were not. And the Bible says they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Let's remember that. The door was shut. But to the foolish virgins who were not prepared, he said, I know you not. Unsaved sinner tonight, you know the Lord says, I don't know you. I know you not. Oh yes, we may know many people. We may be friendly with many people. But listen, if you don't know the Lord, God doesn't know you. I know you not. And from his favorable presence, these five foolish virgins were outcasts. They went headlong into a lost and into a Christless eternity. And sinner, if you're not prepared to meet the Savior tonight, you too will be an outcast from the presence of the Lord forever. For you will be suffering the torments of the lost in an eternal hell. And we want to warn such in the service that you may not have that assurance of salvation. Make sure that you trust the Savior. If you have any doubt about it tonight, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, make sure that you're His. Don't put it off. It could be dangerous. It could be fatal. And then, again, the sufferings of the lost will also arise from the fact that the Holy Spirit will finally be withdrawn forever. No further workings of the Holy Spirit in the heart. No work of God the Holy Ghost convicting. Oh, there'll be a spirit of remorse, all right. But remorse is not conviction. Remorse is not repentance. And neither will be that spirit of remorse for all eternity. But the Spirit of God will not be there. The Bible says early in the Scriptures in Genesis chapter 3 that my Spirit shall not always strive with man. I wonder tonight if God has been striving with your heart. The Holy Ghost has been dealing with your soul concerning eternal things. God has been showing you your danger. That yea, even like those to whom John Edwards preached, Miley preached that great sermon many years ago, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. The people in that congregation were so gripped by the power of the Holy Ghost that they began to cry and felt that the floor was even falling out and they're ready to drop into a lost eternity. They caught hold of the pillars of the building, cried to God to save them. May it be that for any in the meeting that you're not saved, you'll call upon the Lord even in desperation and ask Him to save your precious, never dying soul. Yes, Bunyan tells us in his writings, tells of the man in the iron cage. In that iron cage of despair, he said this, I have grieved the Spirit, and he's gone. I have done despite unto the Spirit of grace, and there now remains to me nothing but fiery indignation. How tragic when a soul has to make such a confession. Sinner, heed the warning call. Listen to the invitation of the gospel. Sinner, don't grieve the Spirit of God by your continual rejection of Christ. For God says, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. Oh, sinner, come. Why do you delay? This may be the last time you'll ever hear that call. Then come, sinner, come. Accept His proper grace. How do you know? But you may be crossing over the dead line tonight. Then again, no more tuggings of the Spirit. No more wooings of God's gracious Spirit dealing in your heart. When all opportunity will have gone forever. Fled you for all eternity. Do call upon Him tonight. Again, fourthly, the sufferings of the lost will arise from the consequent unrestrained dominion of sin and sinful passions. Hell is a fearful place, where passions run wild, where there is no restraint whatsoever. The influence even of common grace, which is in this world, is very widespread. I believe that it's this people who are the salt of the earth, God's people, who are even a restraint on those who are not saved. But there'll be no such thing as that in a lost eternity. There all such influence is gone. All such influence utterly ceases. The immoral person will find no gratification for his burning, unrestrained, selfish passions and lusts. The drunkard will crave after the booze, but he'll find no satisfaction. He'll find no way to satisfy his grief. The man who has trusted in good works for salvation will realize too late the utter failure and futility of such things, and how unrighteous he really is. The man who's depending on religion to get him to heaven will find out when it's too late that religion never saves anybody. It's Christ that saves. He must save and heal all. The sentence written over the lost portals of a lost eternity is, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. That's what God's word says. Tonight, if you're not saved, the Bible says you're unclean. And if you die in an unclean state, the Bible says he is filthy, let him be filthy still. O sinner, come to that fountain that is rich and free. That fountain filled with blood where there's cleansing from every stain. That fountain is able to make us whiter than snow. My, it flows from the side of Christ. It flows from the wounds of Calvary. My, from the head of the cross there flows life in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, let us come for cleansing in Jesus' blood. If the hymn writer put the question, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing, Lord? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace tonight? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Then, of course, the torments, the sorrows of the lost will also arise because of the operation of conscience. That's one thing that will not be killed or annihilated in eternity. Conscience. Jehovah's Witnesses or some of these other cults will come along and tell us that we'll be annihilated. Those who are not right with God, that's the end of them. But the Bible doesn't teach such things. Yes, how fearful can the torment of conscience be? And conscience will do its work throughout all eternity and will find no repose whatsoever. Will find no comfort. It will remind you of opportunities that you've let slip. It will remind you of every gospel service you sat in. It will remind you of the service here tonight, on the 22nd of January. And how under the preaching of God's word you trembled as a sinner. But you refused to come to Christ when the way was open. The door of mercy was swung wide open, nearly off its hinges to get you in. But you refused to come. My God is calling tonight. It will bring to mind every time and every place where you've heard the gospel and where you were near the kingdom. Those occasions when it would just have taken a step to get in, but you refused to come. My, how dreadful will conscience be. How fearful there'll be no comfort from a remembrance of such things. Oh, the pleasures of sin which you enjoyed perhaps for a season will be a little comfort to you in the last eternity. The fact that you were baptized or a church member will be a little comfort in a lost hell. Be no consolation whatsoever. The fact that you took of the Lord's table will be no comfort. Friend, you must be born again. You must be saved. Must come as a sinner in repentance of sin. Turn from sin and receive Christ. Thank God when we come in such a fashion, he'd receive us. Will be gloriously and wonderfully converted, saved through a long eternity. The luxuries of home, the friends that we associated with, the friendships we've had on earth, gave little comfort in the lost eternity. The memory of such things will only add to the torment of your conscience, which will bite you like a serpent and will sting you like an adder. Oh, may it be that tonight God will so work that every shackle of blindness will be taken from our eyes. God will anoint our eyes with eyes that we might see. Let me ask you a simple question. Where will you be in eternity? I want to urge you to turn away from your sin. Turn away from every false trust and trust the Lord Jesus Christ who took your place. Who was punished for your sins. Who died in your stead in Calvary. The one who offers pardon, peace, and eternal life. Oh, may it be that there'll be your joyous answer will be saved through a long eternity. Yes, saved through a long eternity. And then something else for the lost. Their sufferings will arise also from their evil associates. Just think of the society of the demons that are there. How fearful a place it must be. And from it there will be no escape. There will be no way out. One old writer said he would rather endure the torments of the lost than see the devil. And just think of that for a moment. When both of these shall be the lot of an unsaved sinner. Every unsaved person on that great judgment day will hear those solemn words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." How can you escape if we neglect so great salvation? Is that not what the Apostle Paul writes? Oh, there's no escape. There's no answer to that question in the Bible. Why is there no answer? It's simply because there is not. There's no escape. If we neglect Christ, then there's no escape. But the Bible goes on to affirm that this is a permanent and everlasting place. It is perpetual, year after year, time after time, never ending. The Lord spoke plainly of the worm that dieth not, and the fire that is not quenched. And in the same breath, he spoke of everlasting punishment and everlasting life. And the word everlasting has the same meaning in both cases. You're saved tonight. Thank God you've everlasting life. You'll never perish. You'll never come into condemnation. But you're passed from death unto life already. And should God call you tonight, you'll be in his presence forevermore. Glory to his name. But if you're not saved, that same word is the same meaning. To be everlasting punishment. Everlasting destruction. Turn to him tonight. Last of all, and we must hurry on. Without doubt, perhaps this is even the worst. The worst ingredient in the sufferings of the lost is the positive inflictions of divine wrath upon those who reject Christ. Hell is the place of God's wrath. Unrepentant sinners do not escape his hand when cast into this place. It is his presence in never-ceasing wrath which makes the place so terrible. For the vials of his wrath are outpoured for all eternity. Is any wonder the prophet would say, O turn ye, for why will ye die? Is it any wonder he would say, flee, O man. Flee, O man, that perisheth. Tonight we say to you, flee. Where to? Oh, not to the church. Don't flee to the preacher. The preacher can help you. Oh, yes, he'll be willing to help you all right. But flee to the arms of Jesus, the only Savior, the only rescuer, the only place of refuge, the great deliverer. Oh, let us turn to him tonight. Listen to him as he says these words over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thy children together. As a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, but ye would not. Jesus was moved with compassion toward those people. Heart was beating. He would have saved them, but they wouldn't.
Oh, sinner, come to Jesus. He wants to save you tonight.
He died for sinners like you and I. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
God loved the world of sinners, lost and ruined by the fall.
Salvation full, at highest cost, he offers free to all. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love. The love of God to me. It brought my Savior from above to die in Calvary.
Will you cast yourself at his feet tonight? Will you say, Lord, I'm a guilty sinner.
If it wasn't for your mercy, love, and grace, I'm going to a lost and an undone eternity.
Lord, save me tonight. For your mercy's sake.
Deliver me from the very jaws of hell. Take the sting of the old serpent away.
Lord, give me life, give me freedom.
Give me joy in Christ. Give me a life more abundant. A life of satisfaction. A life that's bubbling over with the joys of the Lord.
Lord, save me tonight.
Make me thy child. Lord, I don't want to perish for eternity. I want to be in the presence of God.
To see the face of the Savior. Oh, let us look on his face tonight.
May you see yourself in your need. May you see yourself tonight a guilty sinner separated from God because of your sin.
May you see that he is the one who breaks down that little wall of partition,
taking that wall of sin and removing it,
bringing you and reconciling you to God for eternity. Will you come to him? Will you trust him? Will you believe on him right now in this service before it's over?
Don't go out through that door until you're right with God.
Make sure that you're in the kingdom. May it be so, for Christ's sake. Amen.